It's time for Caveman Corner. Presented by Midland Engineering Company on Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT. We're talking all things Mishawaka Caveman Athletics. And now, the hosts of Caveman Corner, Sean Stiers and Dean Huppert.
It is our final Caveman Corner of the season at live at Monterey Mexican Bar and Grill, along with Mishawaka Athletic Director Dean Huppert. I'm Sean Stiers. We've had a great season in here this year, Dean.
It really has been a great season, and we have to thank the people at Monterey so much because
absolutely.
We've gotten some crowds out here. We've had a lot of our athletes come, and especially our fall coaches and the time commitment that you've given here on a Monday night. It's a little bit bittersweet, but you're also going to get a few hours back tonight.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And, I mean, we've been doing this so long that we've got this window that sits to our right, and when I used to sit down here, the sun glare would be in my eyes. But that's a thing of the past now. I get here when it's night now. We've got football coach Keith Kinder. First of all, Coach and Keith Kinder, of course, with us, congratulations on NIC North Coach of the Year.
Thank you. Coach Heklinski can attest to this. When you get something like that, that means you have good players and good assistant coaches. That's all that means. And it's a tribute to the entire program, players and coaches, special group of seniors, and then, you know, just the opportunity that we had to keep the entire coaching staff the same this year and then add some really key components to our coaching staff like Cody Shively, Scott Stoner, who we brought up from the middle school, KJ Karczewski, who came and volunteered with the freshmen. It was just really nice to be able to keep it kind of seamless with the staff and then just add some younger coaches to kind of, you know, connect with the, you know, that freshman level kid.
Well, and I asked you about this in the pregame interview the other day. This is obviously your first year as a head coach, but you were really fortunate in that there was a lot of continuity that you have in the coaching staff, and that had to help quite a bit this year.
Yeah, it really did, and I think a big credit goes to the kids because of, you know, the way they handled the transition this year. It was really important to me that when I did get the job that I was myself and, you know, didn't try to replicate Coach Curtis. He's a one-of-a-kind guy, and you
right.
can't really replicate him. Even if you tried, and they handled that, and so I think they kind of got to see that you can be, you know, successful with different kinds of personalities. And our kids were so much fun this year. You know, today it almost seems like going to school was like a, you know, almost like a funeral. Almost wore all black.
I can imagine.
But it wasn't because we lost. That's not the part of it that's getting me. It's that I don't get to coach these kids anymore. And I was
right.
I was just telling Coach Heck, I stopped by his basketball practice today just because I wanted to see kids running around and having fun. And so I sat and watched his practice for about 5 minutes and thought, okay, it's still going on. I just gotta wait.
Life still goes on,
I
right?
I just have to wait a long time for my turn again.
Yeah.
Coach, to be the NIC Coach of the Year, I mean, just such great talent in that conference. I mean, you talk about a couple former Notre Dame players, Hall of Famers and at New Prairie and Penn. And to have that in your first year, talk about how your coaching staff negotiated this season, and especially with so many close games. It just seemed like you guys never flinched. You always looked at each other and knew you had each other's back and knew each other that you could get through in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you know, well, first of all, I was telling my wife I kind of set the bar pretty high. If this is expected of me every year, I might be
right.
in trouble.
One for one.
You've shot yourself in the foot.
Yeah. But, I think we won six games by a touchdown or less. Does that sound right, Sean?
It's
six or seven.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is just a credit to our kids and the foundation that was laid, you know, by Coach Curtis and all of us as a staff beforehand. Just the toughness and playing every play hard and competing every down, and our kids did that fantastically this year. I believe that we beat two teams that were better than us, and I think we almost beat a third team in Marist that was a lot better than us. And we were in a football game Friday night for 3.5 quarters against a really, really good team. in Fort Wayne Dwenger, and a lot of that just has to do with effort. Our kids play so hard every single down, and that's a testament to our kids and then our coaching staff and, you know, instilling that in practice.
It seems like it was a long time ago, but you went on spring break, didn't know if you were going to be the head coach at Mishawaka. You were so patient through the process. Then you found out. At that time, it was boom, boom, boom. You had a lot of things to accomplish in a short time.
It really was, and it was, you know, that was a hard time, I think, for me and the other guys that were involved in the process, you know, trying to predict when it was going to be announced and what was going to happen. But, yeah, you're right. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do at this point because I've never experienced this part of the job yet. Our kids, our coaching staff, I sent an email out to our staff today just thanking them for making the transition so smooth and for all their hard work. What people don't understand is how much time these guys spend away from their families. Saturday morning, I got to get my kid out of bed for the first time in 15 weeks, and makes you pretty happy that you get those moments back. But at the same time, you're so used to spending time with these other kids. Our coaches, we're really lucky. The entire corporation is lucky for the quality coaches we have in all our sports. We got good leaders in our sports across the board.
I have to tell you, I saw your wife afterwards. You were in the locker room talking to the kids, and I saw your wife. I said, well, you get him back. You can have him back. She said, you could have had him for one more.
I'll tell you what. She has been so amazing this year. Well, to be honest, for all the years.
Sure, but you guys have a young family.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, unless you're in that position, I don't think people understand what a coach's wife goes through and the amount of time that they're away. And just the simple things that you have to – I haven't been to the grocery in 3 months, you know. That's my job in the off season.
Yeah.
I didn't mow the grass very much. I got a yard full of leaves to pick up, all those things. And, I didn't think – I tried to tell her that it wouldn't be that much different, you know, going from assistant to head coach. But I think it was. And the big difference is I just think that, you know – Even at times when I was present, maybe I wasn't completely present just because things were on my mind. But she's been amazing. Our entire coaching staff has fantastic wives behind them. And, you know, there's a saying, behind every good coach is a really good woman. And I think that applies for us.
He's Keith Kinder, the first-year head coach of the Mishawaka Cavemen and the NIC North Coach of the Year. You had the conference MVP and six different first-team all-conference guys, and I'll mention them here in a minute. But I wanted to ask you, as a first-year head coach, you had a 6-5 team that you were co-offensive coordinator for a year ago, and then as Dean mentioned, you found out late in the spring that you're going to be the head coach. So as you're getting ready, think back to August. What was the realistic expectation that you had for this team this year?
Well, I don't know that I'm ever realistic in my expectations. And here's what I mean by that. I think that I have a tendency to be in my head and think about the worst possible case scenario. When you look at the schedule that we had, opening with Portage and then Valpo and Chicago Marist.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. As just sitting here on my side, I'm looking at the schedule and I'm like, what's going to happen? You know, it's like flip a coin almost every week after what happened last year.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I'm looking at that schedule and thinking, oh, my goodness, Portage might be the most important game of the year, because if we don't win Portage, we could be staring at 0-5, you know, because Adams is going to be really challenging.
Right.
And New Prairie had beat us by 3 scores the year before. So I'm telling you, at the beginning of the year, I thought we got to win the Portage game and get these guys on the right track, and then just kind of see what happens. And fortunately, we were able to do that. But it was such a fun year because of the quality of opponent that we played every single week. There wasn't a Sunday where we turned on the film and thought, this is in the bag. Let's worry about what's going to happen next week. So when you have the quality of opponent, you can teach your kids about the importance of focusing on the next task at hand instead of looking ahead And our kids did a really good job of that this year. I think when you get to the level that we got to with the semi-state, it's hard that week. You know, kids were starting to talk about, hey, I wonder what happens. You know,
right.
And I think that that's just a natural thing. But our kids did a really good job this year of focusing on the next job. But to say, like, a win-loss record as an expectation, I was just hoping to not get fired.
Well, he accomplished that.
Yeah, that's right.
Goal number one.
I mean, obviously, for anyone who wasn't paying attention, you end up – you beat your biggest rival, and it clinches the NIC North, Penn, of course, in a just a fan one of those fantastically fun games. I don't know how fun it was from the sideline and that whole thing when things are bouncing the way they did sometimes.
I'll tell you that I still haven't – I can't bring myself to watch the bad snap, the not fielded kickoff.
Right.
Or the fumble in the fourth quarter. I've watched everything else, but I've skipped those parts because at that moment I was just thinking, oh, my goodness, we're going to end up giving this one away. But
right.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so you do that. You end up winning a sectional, and, I mean, you had to beat St. Joe twice to do that. A physical game both times you played them, and obviously you win the regional and you get to semi-state. So how would you summarize this season?
An absolute joy just to be around the kids every single day. And that's really what it comes down to. You know, if you only coached for championships and things like that, then you'd have a lot of unhappy coaches every single year. You know, told our guys today when we were cleaning up the locker room, hey, six teams win their last game. That's it.
Yep.
Six in Indiana. You can't tell me that there's only six successful seasons in the state of Indiana, though. So, it was just an absolute blast. The thing that keeps running through my head is, and I think it's a common thing, you know, Coach Eklinski has been in this situation before. When you get to this deep of a level in the tournament and you're not successful, in the back of your mind you're thinking, I wonder if we're ever going to get back here. And so that's going to be the driving force. We've already had conversations about next year. We've had a few arguments about who's going to play where and all that sort of stuff. So
you took care of that question then. Yeah. I don't have to ask anything about that.
What's that?
Just have you started thinking about next year? And that's probably Absolutely. By the time Sunday rolled around or maybe even Saturday night, I'm sure that you did start looking at that.
I texted Kyle Shaw yesterday afternoon about 3:30 and said, who's going to play halfback for us next year? He said, I don't know. And then I said, who's going to play quarterback? And he said, I don't know. And then we had some conversations today about it. But it takes, you know, it's one of those things where you don't want to do a disservice to the guys that you're saying goodbye to.
Right.
But then the coach in me is thinking, okay, pressure's on. We got to deliver again next year.
Got to ask you about Chris Harness, the MVP of the NIC. Look at those yards.
Yeah, I know, right? 2,705 this year, 4,366 for his career. The the single season record holder and the career record holder, of course.
Yeah, and I told Dean this today. I don't think those will get touched. There's some records that you just – you think about it, you know, some of the best players to ever come. Only one Mishawaka player before Chris had ever rushed for 2,000 yards.
That's
and
amazing.
That was 2,010 yards. He beat that by 700 yards. And he played a game less than, you know, the 2012 team. He played the guy that he passed, Sam Schrader, who is arguably the best player in Mishawaka history, played about 12 more varsity games than Chris Harness did, and Chris rushed for, 600 more yards than he did. So the things that he was able to accomplish this year were truly remarkable. It's a credit to him and the hard work that he put into it, because everything that he accomplished was done through hard work. He did not just naturally become this good. He worked hard for it. He was a good teammate. He's super competitive. I'm disappointed for him in the way it ended, because he wasn't at his best health-wise on Friday, and he would never tell you that or use it as an excuse, but he wasn't feeling as good as he had been in the previous, 13 weeks.
You know, but it's funny, because I've heard Brian Kelly the last couple weeks talk about some of his running backs, and that at this point in the season, no one's 100%, and he's talked about if you're 80%, you've got to figure out how to give 100% of the 80% that you have. And I don't think that's something you ever had to worry about with Chris Harness.
Absolutely not. And here's the thing. He carried the ball 416 times this year. I don't know the math on that. 416 carries in 14 weeks. And that's he's not a back that stands next to the quarterback and carries it 416 times.
Right.
If Chris Harness didn't get the football, he was getting tackled.
Right.
Right. Because that's kind of the offense that we run. So he had 416 carries, but he
probably
ran,
hit 800 times.
Correct. He ran 700 offensive plays. And you have to, you know, you take away the 40 passes we threw, he got hit by an opponent over 600 times this year. And that doesn't happen in high school football. So, yeah, he's bound to get some bumps and bruises. But he never missed an important down, never once asked to come out of a football game. And, you know, all of those accolades and awards that are coming his way are rightfully earned.
Well, and I told you I walked in behind him in the stadium the other night, and I won't go into all the detail, but it was obvious that he wasn't 100%, but you couldn't have told it by the way that he went out there and with the effort that he had against a really good football team.
Yeah, absolutely, and he wasn't going to be told he couldn't play regardless of who told him, and, you know, nobody did tell him he couldn't play because ended up being just a little bit of a bruise on his foot. But he wanted to be out there with his team, played his heart out, was disappointed in the outcome like the rest of the guys. But the thing is, and I'm sure kids rebound faster than adults do, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, they have already started talking about and embracing the magical moments they had rather than focusing on the negative. When these guys look back at what they accomplished this year, there's going to be nothing but pride and some great memories for them to talk about for the rest of their lives.
Well, I have to thank you just for all the things that you did this year as a head coach and the way you worked with the athletic department, with the band, with the student council, and embraced the entire Mishawaka community. It was fun to watch, and it was a little bit, I guess, sobering, for lack of a better term, at the end after the kids came out of the locker room and all the seniors lined up and the underclassmen went through and the coaches went through, and it just showed the family atmosphere that you guys had and how much each of those guys cared for each other.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate you saying that. I'm from Jimtown, where everything was celebrated together as a community, and that's just the way that I understand it. You know, talk about three-sport athletes and, you know, being a part of other extracurricular activities. So I think it's important that our kids see that support on both sides of the spectrum. We tell our kids it's important to go to volleyball games and girls basketball games, and it's important to play three sports, even if, you know, football is your favorite. Well, go be competitive in something else. So that's always important as well. But the thing that you touched on there at the end with the family thing, and I think this is really important, and something that I wanted our kids to think about, you know, and here's the bad part. The sad part about sports is, you know, we took them back into the locker room after we got beat, and I told them this, and it's really sobering. This is the last time this group's ever going to be together.
Right.
And you think about it, you spend every day together for three straight months, and then all of a sudden, it's over and goodbye. That group will never be together ever again in its entirety for the rest of their lives.
Right.
It's kind of a weird thing to think about. So we wanted to make sure that we celebrated our seniors in an appropriate way, which was get them back out on the field, say goodbye to them, tell them how much we appreciated them, and end it on kind of a positive note with some laughter and some hugs.
And Sean, I actually took video of that, but I never posted it because it was such a private moment that it didn't feel appropriate.
Right.
It was just one of those moments that, wow, this is something really special. And to show you the kind of coach and guy that Keith Kinder is, the night that they beat Penn, arguably the biggest win in his career as a coach, they win the NIC conference, and he asked me after the game, he's like, hey, do you mind if I run over and see my old high school teammates? We're having a 20-year reunion this year. Well, they won the state championship. He wanted to spend time with his guys.
Right.
And then go back with his coaches, but he just wanted a few minutes to go. And that shows you the type of family that they had in 98, and that's what he's brought to Mishawaka.
Absolutely. Hey, Keith, congratulations again. I know that coach of the year and all that stuff obviously right now doesn't mean anything, but I think you said it a second ago that, I mean, you're all obviously going to look back on this season with a lot of great memories when it's all said and done.
Well, I appreciate it, and I do want to thank you for all the hard work that you do promoting Mishawaka Sports. It's a pleasure to work with you.
And you as well.
I've listened to some of your – I've gone back and listened to some of your calls and big moments, and that is going to be a lasting memory for our kids as well, so I appreciate that.
And one thing that he said after the Penn game, you know what, we're just getting started.
Yeah, that's right.
I love that line.
That's right.
I hope that's the case.
Congratulations,
Keith.
Thanks
a lot. Appreciate
all right, and I do want to say that I appreciate you as well for all the information that you provide us, and because we can't, you know, me and Bove and Vince and all of us who do the broadcast, we can't do it without help from the coaches, so we really do appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, Keith Kinder, the head coach of the Mishawaka Cavemen football team and the NIC North Coach of the Year. Dean, had a great time with you here this season, and it's amazing that it's already over, but I'll be seeing you around, and of course we'll be back with Cavemen Corner next year.
Yeah, nice transition. We appreciate everything you did for Cavemen Corner and Mishawaka football, and let's ride that high all the way into basketball season and start it all again.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And again, for Dean Hubbard, Keith Kinder, Jerry Janowski, our studio engineer, Matt Candler, who sets us up and takes us down every week, and thanks to Monterey Mexican Bar and Grill for having us out this year as well. We will talk to you when basketball starts on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.